history, but God had other plans, amen. And we were planned with this. Oh, we're celebrating our 40th anniversary. Go ahead. I put up with Yvonne for 40 years, man. Yvonne, I'm just kidding. I was just kidding. I should know better after 40 years, right? Edie made me do it. But anyhow, or Cindy. But good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And it's her we're celebrating her. I won't mess up and tell you how many years it is. We're also celebrating her birthday. It's the 12th of January. But no, I really do praise the Lord for Yvonne. She has put up with me for 40 years, and praise God. It has to be God's grace. Amen. But I hadn't planned to be here, but Pastor asked me yesterday after we had went to dinner. When was that? Friday night? Friday night. It had a great fellowship. I thought they were going to put us out of the restaurant, man. It was Vic and Edie and myself and Yvonne and Cindy and Pastor. But we had a great time. I won't tell you any of the things we did, but anyhow. Tony, I should have prayed first, man. But I'll save the update for a letter that I'm gonna generate and send to you because you need to know what's going on. It's been a really rough year, very, very rough year. But as I look back, you know, I realize that all things are of God. Amen. Even the situation that your pastor is going through, he doesn't cause all things, but he works all things together for good. Amen. Because he is able. And with that being said, some of the things that I went through this year really was a culmination of a lot of things I've suffered for many, many years. And I'll just briefly say this. I often used to tell Brother Vic, because we become very, very close friends during the time he was serving as deacon over at Bread and Life. And I told him, I said, man, I'm always hurting spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, socially, and relationally. And man, I'm hurting big time all the time. And I found out this year what was the source of all that. And I'm on the victory side of that. It was an infirmity that I was going through that God allowed in my life to bring me to a place where I've always wanted to be, where I rest in him, trust in him, rely on him. And so I could say, as the Apostle Paul said, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Amen. And as a result of that, God has really given me allowed me to experience the victory side of that. I really honestly feel, your pastor laughed at me. He said, Tony, I've been waiting. But I really feel somewhat of a conversion in my life. And I could equate that to the book of Luke, when the Lord told Peter, he said, Satan would have you that he might sift you as wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you. He said, when you are strengthened or you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. Amen. And that's what I hope to be here to do tonight. I come to you in the office of an evangelist, fully understanding what my responsibility is and the opportunity is. I am to come alongside of your pastor to help perfect you for the work of the ministry, which is the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. And I rejoice in the fact that I was a pastor for 22 years with the heart of an evangelist, but now I'm an evangelist with the heart of a pastor. Amen. I was telling that to the congregation in Toronto this morning, that I'm not only a preacher, but I'm a pastor teacher as well. So you get a lot of things being taught to you tonight. Howbeit, some of you've already learned. As a matter of fact, the lesson that I have for you tonight is a compilation of maybe three messages that I gave, especially the Church of Bread of Life over the last few years. But I think it'd be beneficial to you, if nothing more than to remind you. Amen. All right. Why don't we pray, and we'll do it this way. We'll do it in a song. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, do not pass us by. I'm crying, Savior, oh Savior, hear our humble cry. And while on others are do not pass us by. Father, Lord Jesus, we're inviting you to come in. You said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man would hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. God, is nothing greater than having fellowship with you. I believe without a doubt it's the ultimate intimate relationship. It is the epitome of all other relationships. It's a relationship that is the essence of Christianity. It's a relationship, Lord, that is exemplified by Christ, explained by Christ as an abiding relationship in John 15. And it's a relationship you encourage us to have with you. Bless us tonight, Lord, with your presence. Lord, we praise you for being the epitome of perfection. God the Father and the Son and the Spirit, because you are one. We ask you to wash us thoroughly from any iniquity, creating us a clean heart. So that, Lord, nothing would hinder you from having fellowship with us tonight. Lord, and I ask this, Lord, not only personally, but corporately. Father, please, we want to thank you that you work all things together for good for those who are in Christ. Lord, I briefly pray for my pastor, my friend, Richard Shear. And I couldn't pray any better than the young man that prayed earlier. What I've been praying all day, even yesterday. God, help him to be used of you. To be all that you would have him to be, that we'd be as Christ to these folks. But Lord, you're going to have to strengthen him because he feels the pain. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We won't be with you long tonight. But as I said, by way of introduction, we would like to share with you a compilation of a few messages that we preached. One would be a message on unity. And you remember me preaching on unity and how unity in a word can be defined as a oneness. You know, a oneness that Jesus paid for and prayed for. A oneness that God the Father planned and predestined before the world began. A oneness that the Holy Spirit produced when he placed us into the body of Christ and preserved. Because we're sealed until the day of redemption. A oneness that we can have with the Godhead. Amen? And we talked about that in reference to unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. And I talked to you about faith. And we talked about steps of faith. And if you remember, we talked about the key verse in that message was, but without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek after him. And so we'll be touching on that, and we'll tie all that together because you can. And of course, you know, and I know you've been waiting, you're talking about abiding in him. I really do not apologize for preaching a lot of messages on abiding. I reference that in my prayer. I believe that the abiding relationship is the ultimate intimate relationship that we can have with the Lord. Amen. And so we kind of tied those three messages together. As a matter of fact, we want to make sure that you get it because we're going to give you something to take home with you. Amen. In reference to that message. And with this, you can take inventory in reference to how you're doing in that relationship, that abiding relationship. And the uniqueness of this that I want to share with you today is not only does the Lord want us to abide with him personally, And abiding, once again, if you've forgotten, I trust you haven't, to abide in him means to continue, to begin and to continue to remain in close fellowship with him. How close? I'm glad you asked. Close enough to allow him to live his life through you until you bear the fruit of his spirit, which is the likeness of Christ. Amen. The only fruit that the spirit produces is the likeness of Christ. I marvel at a lot of the people that read John 15 and they try to break it down and they're afraid to say that that's the fruit of the spirit that he's making reference to in that portion of scripture. You know, you'll bear fruit. How many of you know that if the fruit does not find its essence in the spirit of God, it's counterfeit fruit. Amen. It's counterfeit fruit. That's me making the only fruit that's going to remain is the fruit of the spirit. Amen. Whether it's your lips giving praise to God or whether it's your works, it's got to be produced by the spirit. Okay. Bam. Isn't that pretty? Oh, it's upside down. Isn't that nice? I'm going to give you one of these for $19.95. No, seriously, I made up some that are 8.5 by 11. And I don't have any samples because the other church, they robbed me and they took them. No, seriously. Okay, we're going to preach from that. Okay. Can you move it over to the right a little bit? A little to the right. It's okay. But anyhow, it's up there. Okay. Let me move on before. Okay. Run out of time. There you go. Back a little bit to the left. A little bit, just a touch. Yeah. That's it. Okay. Down just a little bit. Up a little bit more. Yeah. No, yeah, right there. Don't touch it. Cool. Okay. Now this can be tied into a lot of different things. This whole chart. And one of the things we did, Yvonne and I, and we're going to bring our family along, is this. You adopted this slogan that your pastor got from somebody else. Begin finishing well. Amen. I remember doing a conference of that a couple of years ago. Pastor Mike Metzger, he was saying that, Tony, I got caught up in that too. You know, and he preached on that. The Thursday before New Year's, and I preached out at New Year's Eve, and I made this reference. You know what? We ought to not make a New Year's resolution, but a new life's resolution, like Paul did. Paul came to the conclusion in his life, and I believe while he was in prison, he said, "You know what? I'm going to forget those things which are behind." He said, "This one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to forget those things which are behind. And I'm going to reach forth unto those things which are before. I'm going to press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul said, you know what? He nailed down to one thing in his life. He said, this one thing I do, I'm going to diligently strive to be like Jesus. And you know what? That makes a lot of good biblical sense. Because the more you're like Christ, the more you're able to do all things well. Doesn't that make sense? And this chart even help you to do that. Let's look at it. How to abide in Christ together in a Christ-centered triangle relationship. This is how you do it. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Emphasis being on diligently. But without faith, repeat after me, saints, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. Now, if you want to abide in Christ together in a Christ-centered relationship, a triangle relationship, You must seek him diligently in his kingdom first. Amen. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, he's got to be number one, the king in his kingdom. You know, we sing that song. We'll move on. But anyhow, the point is this. His spiritual kingdom that he rules and reigns over right now. Well, we know the earthly kingdom is coming, but we're talking about that spiritual kingdom that he rules. Those who are submitted to him, those who have a kingdom mindset. Those who purposely live for the king and according to his righteousness, according to his standards. Those who put him first. You know, the brethren in Hebrews chapter 11, they had a kingdom mindset. It was more towards the earthly kingdom, but really it's hard to separate that when you think in terms of God and Christ. Amen? But these are submitted to putting the Lord first. And, you know, if you want to learn to abide in Christ and continue to remain in close fellowship with him, then you have to have your priorities right. I mean, before you do anything else, Vic, and when you get up in the morning, man, you hit the floor, hit the side. If you got bad knees, you know, sit on your tail. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, the posture's not all that important. It's the heart. If the heart is humble, because God resists the proud, to give his grace. Humility is the key that opens the door to all of God's graces. You don't go to God in a prideful spirit. God will just resist you. But if you go to him in all humility, knowing who you're going before, the king, majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty. Kingdom authority. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the God of glory. He is worthy of first place, worthy of first love. He is worthy that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. We need to go to him first thing. Don't flick on the tube, man. Don't flick on the radio. I don't know about you, but I like that acronym, ACTS. Adoration. Confession, thanksgiving, supplication, or prayer. Boy, that's a good comprehensive way you can have a really good conversation with the Lord in the morning. Seek him early. Seek his kingdom, his righteousness first. Man, that's a good place to start. It's the best place to start. Seek him diligently. And the key word here is diligence. What does it mean? Help me out now. What does it mean to be diligent? Be on top of it. This brother's diligent. You know, I mean, he's going to get there, man, even if he has to walk sideways getting there. But he's going to get it done. Yeah, he came out to the car yesterday to help us out. And I said, baby, look at him. He's waddling like a penguin. I said, look, he even looks like one. I'm sorry? You did get me. You said amen. What are you talking about? Wise wife's always telling the truth on us. Stop it, man. Stop crying. But anyhow, he's diligent, isn't he? Dad's going to get it done. You know, no grass is going to grow under his feet. You're a good example of someone who is diligent. Drives you crazy, doesn't he? Do good diligence. Put your heart in it, man. You know, without faith, without depending on God, without trusting God, it's impossible. You just can't please him. Brother, that's a powerful statement. I know you study words, don't you? You look like one of those kind of guys. That gray hair, that has a lot of meaning when it comes to you, wisdom. What would you say as you define diligence for us, you know, people on the bottom shelf here? Determined.
Nothing's going to stop you. No.
Anybody else want to? Military man. Diligence. Due diligence. Faithfully. Ladies, speak up. Consistent. Unwavering. Anybody else? Yes? Carefully. I don't know about you, but your husband's diligent. But he drives you crazy. He drive me crazy, I tell you what. I'd probably not do something just to get him going. Seek him diligently in his kingdom first, not half-heartedly. God looks at the heart. He said, where does he stand? At the door of your heart. Seek him, leads to the next point. Seek him in your heart. I stand. Revelation 3:20. We're going to read some scripture here in a minute. Revelation 3:20. But you know these verses. I stand at the door and knock. If any man would hear my voice, he's not only standing there knocking. I can do this in this church. You're not really all that conservative. I didn't say that, but I like to remix songs. You know that. Your pastor doesn't like that. But he gives me liberty. So I'm going to take a little liberty. Jesus is knocking at your door. Jesus is calling your name, Cindy. Jesus is knocking at your door. Jesus is calling your name, David. Do yourself a favor. Open the door and let him in to your heart daily. Just because you say it doesn't mean you ought not to open your door of your heart to the Lord. You ought to have a better understanding of what that means. Because you are saved, because you opened your heart and he came to abide in you. It's salvation. Now he wants you daily. He expects you to allow him to be seated on the throne of your heart. But listen, don't expect to have fellowship with him without your heart being cleansed. That's why you have to pray. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Let him cleanse that heart, that mercy seat, and be seated at the throne of your heart. Do it on purpose. Hang in there. It's coming. Hang in there. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, look down from thy throne in the sky and help me to make a complete sacrifice. I give up myself and whatever I know. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at thy crucified feet. By faith for my cleansing, I see thy blood flow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, thou seest, I patiently wait. Come now and within me a new heart create. To those who have sought thee, thou never said no. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Confession. Lord, forgive me for my unwillingness to surrender my pride. My disobedience. Lord, forgive me for my unbelief, not taking you at your word. Forgive me for my unfaithfulness, my unfruitfulness, my unrighteousness, my uncleanness. God, forgive me and help me not only to confess my sin, but to forsake it. And please, you said, son, give me thine heart. Daughter, give me thine heart. Lord, here's my heart. Ooh, Lord Jesus, take me. Lord, here's my heart. Take my life, let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands, let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet, let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. Take my heart, it is thine own, it shall be thy royal throne. We're talking about seeking him diligently. You shall seek me, you shall find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Take inventory, saints. How are we doing? I think we need to be reminded of this from time to time, because we can get pretty complacent. Excuse me. I can. Especially with my wife. Tell them I'll be there right after service because I'm hungry. Okay? Thank you for taking that call for me. Oh, if you want something else? Let me leave her alone. I'm trying to help her. But seek him diligently in fellowship with him. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Familiar scriptures. I'm watching the time for you. I said I'm not going to keep you long. I know some of you are kind of nervous because you know I'm long-winded, but not tonight, man. I'm tired. This is a 1 John chapter 1. Familiar portion of scripture. But the word of God says, this is the message which ye have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all, no sin whatsoever. If we say that we have fellowship with him, or we're abiding in him and walk in darkness, and we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and in the light of his presence, and the light of his word, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, well, here's the point. And we'll make this point and we'll move on. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, or if there's sin in our life, I mean, if the Holy Spirit shows you that there's sin that needs to be confessed and forsaken, and you don't do it, listen, sin will keep you from fellowship with God, or fellowship with God will keep you from sin. How many of you know that? I'm good, brother. I'm fine. Amen? I'm fine. But anyhow, here's the point. If we say that we have fellowship with the Lord, and we walk in darkness, if there's any sin in our life whatsoever, if the Holy Spirit shows you that sin, maybe it's a bad thought, a bad word, a bad deed. Maybe you're out of fellowship with a brother or sister. Maybe you're out of fellowship with your wife or your husband. Maybe you said something you shouldn't have said to him. There. Of course, they never would do that. It's more likely that I would say something to her because she's brown sugar and I'm just chocolate thunder. But she's also Sugar Ray. She don't like that. So I'm in trouble again. Father, forgive me for I had some fun. But anyhow, time to get serious. Who said that? You're an instigator. We can have fun. All kidding aside. If there's any sin, the Holy Spirit will show you if you're a child of God. If your ear is in tune to listen. Because he wants to have fellowship with you, but he can't. Unless that sin is taken care of. And baby, if I offended you, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that in public. In private, oh, she's looking at me like, what else is new, Tony? The smallest sin. These things were written unto you. You might have fellowship. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It might be something you're exposing yourself to, maybe television program or whatever it might. What do you open your door to your heart to? You see, God can't sit on your heart. He won't share your heart with anybody else. Now, he will if with your wife or your husband, you may. But only after he has first place, because he's worthy. Because if he's not in first place, none of the other relationships are going to amount to anything. Because you need his help. Seek him diligently in fellowship with him daily. Seek him diligently in his word, abiding in his word. Now watch this. First, let's look over to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2. Are you still with me, folks? Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. Diligently seek him in his word. My son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. What is the key here? Listen, that I'm going to show you right now what that RMMSA stands for. It means read his word, memorize his word, meditate on his word, study his word, apply his word to your life. And that's what Solomon is talking about here. Diligently seeking the Lord in his word. How many of you know that God says he's magnified his word above his name, above who he is? It's that important to him. And if we minimize the importance and of the word of God in our lives, we'll never be able to have the type of fellowship that Jesus paid for and prayed for and paid for in this life. Now, you'll have it one day as a Christian, because one day he's going to conform you to the image of God, Christ. But in this life, right now, you're a work in progress. And these are steps of faith. Oh, that's good. Write that down, Dave. And these are steps of faith that you have to take to have that type of fellowship with him in this life. Are you with me? Don't minimize that word. Take inventory. Are you reading that word on a regular? How important is it to you? Are you memorizing the word? Oh, that's for kids. Oh, you're a child of God, aren't you? Are you meditating on the word? Your pastor taught me this. That's where the real fruit of the word of God is. It's in meditating, chewing on that word, thinking about that word, you know, and then applying it to your life. How many of you know that the Bible promises that prosperity and good success? God's got a prosperity doctrine, according to his will, not according to man's will. And he told Joshua, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and observe to do according to all that is written therein. For therein thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and therein thou shalt have good success. What? By meditating on that word and applying it to your life. God will cause you to prosper spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, according to his will, socially and relationally. It ties into the word of God. How are we doing? Are we diligently seeking him in his word? Are we diligently seeking him in prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive, you know, the Lord, they call it the Lord's Prayer, but that's the disciples' prayer. It's our prayer to him. Then he goes on, he talks about prayer, diligently seeking him in prayer. And he talks about, he gives us a model of how to do that. We begin with praise, and we incorporate forgiveness, and we incorporate this kingdom mindset. And, you know, he gives us an outline, so, if you would. And then he goes right into fasting. And fasting is significant because it's taking your prayer to another level. It is diligently seeking him. But don't get nervous about that. God has called us to a fasting ministry. But you need to be a student of fasting. God forbid that I should go in any church and try to encourage the people to fast without encouraging you first to be a student of that ministry. Because the devil can use that to destroy you. Because people who have certain sicknesses cannot fast the way other people can fast. There's different ways that your fasting can be just as effective as abstaining from food and water. If you've got diabetes, man, you're supposed to eat six times a day. How are you going to fast with someone else who needs to lose weight? But there's different types of fast. You need to be a student, but, you know, pursue it. And ask the Holy Spirit, show me the type of fast that's going to, because there's proper fast, there's improper fast. And it's fast in God's honor and fast. You know, when you go into a fast, God is more concerned about your attitude than anything else. And he wants you to have a good Samaritan type attitude. Isaiah 58. But mind you, he wants you to fast because fasting is a way to move mountains in your life. This cometh forth. This particular mountain cometh forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. How are we doing? Oh, I'm going to give you some of these to take home with you. I don't have any today, but I'm going to mail some to you. And I'm going to, you know, some of you won't put these in your room because it won't fit your decor. So I got some. I'm going to have some 8.5 by 11 with a nice frame. And I got some black and white. No, I'm not sending them. I'll send you the website or something and you get them yourself. Then I come back and I say, okay, where's yours? I tell you what, February when I come, I want to see everybody with one. This is yours, Mama. I hope it fits your decor. You know what? What I would do, I'm going to put this on pause for a minute. No. They have ones that fit this frame better than that. And they have different color frames that fit it. I think it's 11 by 14.
This looks nice. But I just thank you very much. But I thought it would be nice if we could have the size we could tape in front of our Bibles.
That's your assignment. I like that. You're hired. You get a cut. I like that. All kidding aside, seek him in God's house. Vic, for the sake of time, brother, would you turn to that verse for me, please? Mr. Wisdom, could you turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 17? Dave, would you turn to Luke 19:10? Okay. Seek him diligently in God's house. Hebrews 24 and 25. Would you read that with a big voice, brother?
Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much more as ye see the day approaching.
Now that verse makes reference to one of the most powerful accountability verses in the Word of God. We need to hold each other accountable. Amen. We need each other. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's family. Amen. We need each other. And it's making reference to not forsaking the assembling of yourself together. Now, a lot of times people use that verse to talk about church and how you need to come to church. And, you know, I partly believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly. But it's not only talking about that. It's talking about any opportunity that you have, you know, to have fellowship with the brethren. Take advantage of it. Whether it's, you know, dinners or whether it's, you know, just fellowship with each other and getting together with one another, because you're a target, man. And Satan would try to wipe you out. You're a sheep, man. Lady. And you need to be with the saints. Another reason why, and most importantly, is you need to help each other become like Christ. You know, we referenced that earlier in my introduction, how I'm an evangelist. And my ministry, my office entails me come alongside of your pastor to perfect or equip the saints. For what? For the work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry? Edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. How long? Until we come to the unity of the faith. till we come to an unity of faith unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, and measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. Till we come to a place of Christ-likeness. Till we are no longer children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, you know, by those who will cunningly deceive you on purpose, speaking unsound doctrine. Until we're able to speak the truth in love and to grow up in him in all things. Until we all are able to, the whole body fitly framed together, compacted by every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Till we all come to a place where we're taking and using all of our resources, our God-given resources, our time, talents, and treasures, working effectively to help build up the body, each other, in love. That's why we not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. How are we doing? Well, I tell you, across the body, we're not doing very well at all. How about this body? And I speak to you in love. I go to a lot of places, man. I see a lot of things. You're blessed here. You're getting it. But you've been through some things, too. And you're going to go through some things. We need each other. How are we doing? Are we endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit? You can't do it without God's help. Are we following those who do? Diligently following those who do. Who's got Philippians 3:17? My young, pretty sister, you cannot make it in this race on your own. You have to mark people who are following Christ and choose to follow them. Are these your parents? That's mama. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to say this. Mama don't take no mess. Follow mama. She gonna follow Jesus. I'll follow mama. When I say capiche, say comprende. No, you say capache. Capiche? There you go. Is that a word? Is that Spanish? You don't. You wouldn't even know if that was Swahili, would you? I bet it's not. You think I'm crazy. I am. No, but mark those who follow Christ. Follow Rich. Follow Rich. He's going to diligently seek the Lord. I meant Pastor Rich. I call him my pastor. And I mean it. He's one of them. I have to be careful not to disrespect Brother Kevin Pesky. I'll follow that brother. As long as he's following Jesus. You know, we ought to have, in our life, we ought to have maybe three relationships in reference to following. We ought to have someone that we look to and willing to follow above us. And we consider that person to be above us. Somebody that we look right eyeball to eyeball to. You're one of my homies. I look eyeball to eyeball. You don't know how much of a blessing that I'm just following you, bro. You ought to have somebody you need to pick up and be able to go to that person and say, listen, follow me, son, as I follow Jesus. I won't lead you the wrong way. Diligently follow him in faithful service. For the sake of time, I won't read those verses. You read them. But in those verses, says that Jesus said, listen, you know, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy, this joyful relationship with the Lord. Man, God gets excited, man, when he sees that you're a faithful steward. You know, he said, you know, the faithful man shall abound in blessings. He that is faithful in that which is little will be faithful in that which is much. And it brings joy to the Lord. Listen, God is not concerned about, listen, he's not excited about your ability. He gave you that. What he's excited about is your availability, what you do with it. Write that down, David. We used to say back in the day, God wants you to be fat, faithful, available, teachable. That brings him joy. Now watch this one. This is going to blow your mind. If you really want to diligently seek after the Lord, you must seek him diligently in the lives of the lost. Luke 9:10. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. God is a God of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Blackaby used to say, go and see where God is at work in somebody's life and join him. He's always working. Did he work in your life? He worked in my life before I got saved. While I was running for God my whole life, you know, listen, yeah, I've given you my testimony. Let me share real quickly. My mother died when I was 3. Everybody's got their own testimony. You know, really, yours is yours. Your history, your story. Mother died when I was 3. This is the most traumatic time of my life. Lived with 10 different families. More than an orphan, man. I was all bounced all over the place. Grew up missing the mother's love. Feeling unaccepted. Needed validation. Having no identity, no dad around. Needed validation. I grew up a misfit. People telling me, point blank, we don't want you. You're the ugly one. Look at me now, I'm pretty. Nappy hair? It ain't nappy no more. It's all gone, bro. It's getting old, man. It's getting straight. You know, naps are gone. Oh, folks, naps mean curls. And I don't mean Jerry curls. I'm delusional, man. I'm tired. Seriously. I grew up a misfit. I was one of those kids, man, that wouldn't go to school after a while. Brilliant kid. They told me, go to school, Tony. You get a scholarship. They're just giving black people scholarships, man. This is back in the 70s. Hanging out. Well, I won't tell you all that gory stuff. Finally went to the Navy and got family, got straightened around. Still running from the Lord. But God was pursuing me. He was seeking, saving those who were lost. And finally, someone asked me, if you died today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? And I said, how can you know that for sure? He said, if you got 5 minutes, let me show you the Bible. And after turning people down for years, it was my time. And I said, okay, show me. And he showed me that I was a sinner, that sin had to be paid for. The wages of sin was death. That Jesus died to pay for my sin because he loved me. He didn't want me to go to hell. And now he offered salvation to me as a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith. God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. By grace are you saved. How? Through faith, dependent on the Lord. Him only. Not of works. What must I do to be saved? Call upon the name of the Lord. Confess him with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You want him to be Lord of your life. Jesus, I know that you are the Lord. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I'm going to turn. That's repentance. And repentance comes in 3 stages. Knowing that you're wrong. Knowing that you should be following Christ. 2nd stage, having desired to follow Christ. But it's not complete until you turn. And you surrender. You believe enough to receive him as your Savior and to call upon his name. It worked for you and you and you. And it worked for anybody else who's never done that. Just go to him as simply as you know how. Don't complicate it. Holy Ghost will give you the words too. He'll give you the grace. He'll give you the repentance. He'll give you the faith. And take whatever else you need. I had to throw that in there. You didn't catch that. You caught that. How to abide in Christ together in a Christ-centered relationship. There's unity right there. God wants all of his children, man, you know, to have Christ-centered relationships. Seek him diligently in his kingdom first, in your heart, in fellowship with him, in his word, in prayer, in fasting, in God's house, and following those who do, and faithful service in the lives of the lost. Oops, that means it's time for me to quit. Okay, how do we close this out? Who does that? Me? Okay, let's close this out with a song. Abide. Anybody going to play? Take time to be holy. One reason why I like this song so much, take time to be holy. Oh, you got a candles out? Take time to be holy is because it really talks about take time. You know, holiness is defined better as a person. Jesus is holy. He's the Holy One. Amen. So when you think about what does it mean to be holy, instead of thinking about standards and stuff that you make up in your own mind, think of Jesus. Jesus is the Holy One. Holiness is a person. Take time to be holy speaks of taking time to be like Christ. How do you do that? Abiding in him. You know, you're not going to put it on the screen for the lazy people who want, not even, I'm sorry. For me, who's lazy and want to look in the book. I know it by heart. Okay. I know it by heart. No, I know it by heart. Now watch me forget the words. Push 441. Brother, you're closing prayer for us. Sum everything up. Take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends with God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessing to see. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend morning in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let him be thy guide. Run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord. And looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above. Brother, would you close for us in prayer?
Don't pray for traveling mercy. Thank you.
Amen.
Was it, you still got the prophet's chamber? Yes. You do? What about that big dog? Is he still?
I promise.
No, you can have that. We're going to back. We're going to finish up our honeymoon. We're going back to the garden club.
Father, again, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time together, Father, for your word that was preached. Father, Lord, as our brother Tony said, Heavenly Father, Lord, we need time, Heavenly Father, to be alone with you, Lord, Father, to allow you, Lord, to set our steps throughout each day, Lord, Father, not just one day a week, Lord, Father, but each day, Lord, Father. We pray that tonight, Lord, we can take with us, Lord, this reminder, Lord, Father, or this map that's been presented to us, Lord, Father, that we can take time, Lord, as the song just said, to be holy, Lord. And Father, Lord, we know that will please you, Lord, Father, and it will be well for our souls, Lord, Father. So we pray, Lord, again, Lord, that you be with us tonight, be with us as we travel home. Father, again, we pray for our pastor, Lord. Yes. We pray that you be with him, Lord. Give him grace. Heavenly Father, Lord, help him to be who he is, the Heavenly Father, the big shoulder that people can lean on, Lord, Father. We thank you for him, for his service, Lord, Father, for his love for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Listen, I said something public that I need to, Holy Spirit, just show me. I didn't mean to disrespect Vic and Edie, and I know they didn't take it that way, and I don't want anybody else to. You know, I didn't talk to them initially about staying at their home, but I know that they would open their home up to us at the drop of a hat. We do need some rest, and we're going to just take advantage of the hotel to just kind of finish out our little honeymoon and that sort of thing. And we're going to just drive home slowly tomorrow. Amen? All right. God bless you. Have a great night. Oh, no. I'm allergic to those bad boys. We are both there. And Yvonne will not step foot. If you got cats, man, no way. She is not.